Hi, this is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions, and you're listening to Briefings Direct. Today we present a sponsored podcast discussion on the rapid growth, increased relevance, and new market direction for major open source middleware and integration software under the Apache license. We'll learn how the Fuse family of software is now under the Fuse Source name and has gained new autonomy as its own corporate identity. We'll also look at where Fuse projects are headed in the near future. Part of the Iona Technologies acquisition by Progress Software in 2008, FuseSource has now become its own company, owned by Progress, but now more autonomous to aggressively pursue its open source business model and to leverage the community development process strengths. Even as the IT mega vendors are consolidating more elements of IT infrastructure, and in some cases buying up open source projects and companies, the role and power of open source for enterprise and service providers alike has never been more popular or successful. Virtualization, cloud computing, mobile computing, and services orientation are all supporting more interest and increased mainstream use of open source infrastructure. Here now to discuss how FuseSource is evolving to meet the need for open source infrastructure, please join me in welcoming our guests. We're here with Debbie Moynihan, Director of Marketing for FuseSource. Welcome to the show, Debbie.
Hi, Dana. Thank you. It's great to be here.
We're also here with Rob Davies. He's the Director of Engineering for FuseSource. Welcome to the show, Rob.
Hey, Dana. Good to speak to you today.
Great. Well, Debbie, tell me about some of the trends. We're seeing some of the most aggressive use of open source in IT infrastructure. We're seeing great success in terms of total costs, efficiency, agility. Why is that happening now, and where do you see the demand trends headed to in the next several years?
Sure, Dana. Well, I think, as we all know, over the past couple of years, has been a lot of focus on cost reduction, and that resulted in a lot of people looking at open source that maybe wouldn't have looked at open source in the past. And the other thing that's really happened with the open source is some of the early adopters. You know, we've had customers for many years who started out with a project and now have standardized across their entire organization. So there's many more proof points of large global organizations rolling out open source in mission-critical production environments. So those two factors are really driving a lot of people to think about open source and to start adopting open source over the past couple of years. Then the whole cloud, you know, trend came along, and, you know, when you think about scaling in the cloud, open source is perfect for that because you don't have to think about the licensing costs as you scale up. So there's a lot of trends that have been happening that have really been really helpful, and we're very happy about them from that perspective, in helping push open source really into the mainstream. And from a FuseSource perspective, you know, we've been seeing over 100% growth each year in our business, and you know, that's part of the reason for the creation of for some of the things we're going to talk about today.
Yeah, how about the popularity of the Apache license? We see controversy in some cases, kind of a lack of clarity and understanding where some other licenses are going, but Apache seems to be pretty solid, pretty accepted.
Yeah, we really like the Apache license. There's a lot of confusion around open source licensing. There's many different licenses. There's a lot of fine print. And if you really don't want to think about it, and a lot of people don't want to think about it, and a lot of legal departments get concerned about the gray areas, the Apache license is very easy to understand, and it's very permissive in what you can do with software that's licensed under the Apache license. Essentially, you can make any modifications you want to the software, and you don't necessarily have to contribute back to the community. Obviously, you know, it's nice if you can contribute back, but from a business perspective, if you want to use any of the components, it's what's considered a non-viral license. So you're pretty free to do what you want as long as you give credit back to those that wrote the initial code.
Right. Now, Rob, we've seen a lot of popularity for open source in operating systems, server operating systems in particular, version. But why has the use of open source for infrastructure, say for integration and middleware, become so popular? And why do you think that's going to continue with such things as cloud?
I think there's been a trend certainly over the last few years, and Debbie alluded to this, that there have been companies that have been looking at open source for some time and kicking the tires around. And in fact, I actually spoke to a large customer of ours yesterday who are in the telco space. They had this remit, any open source which came in initially, they wouldn't put into mission critical situations until they kicked the tires for a good while, a couple of years. And because there's been this push for more open source projects following open standards, I think people are more willing to actually have a go using open source software. And so we've seen, because we've been around in this space for a while, that the early adopters who were just trying out in distinct groups are now rolling this out into production. And because of that, there's this snowball effect. People are seeing that large organizations are actually using open source for their infrastructure, for their integration. So it gives them more confidence to do the same. And in fact, if you look at the numbers of some of our larger customers where they're using it, they're sending through many thousands of transactions, business transactions a second through our software, through open source Apache licensed software using Apache Service Mix and Apache ActiveMQ. And this is business critical stuff. And that alone is enough to give people more confidence that open source is the right way to go.
All right, Debbie, tell us a little bit about the few source move towards more autonomy. This clearly is an opportunity, but it's a different opportunity than a purely commercial license and software model. So tell us a little bit what's going on with Progress Software and few source.
Sure. Well, we're really excited as a team. Progress is launching a new company called FewSource that will be completely focused on the open source business model. And the FewSource team has always been an independent business unit since Iona was acquired by Progress Software. So we have been fairly independent within the company, but you know, having us separated as our own company, we'll be able to be completely independent in terms of how we do our marketing, sales, support services, and engineering. When you're part of a large organization, there are certain processes that, you know, everyone is supposed to follow. And within Progress, we're doing things slightly differently or very differently depending on the area, because the needs of the open source market are different. So being our own company, we'll have that independence to do everything that makes sense for the open source users, and we're pretty excited about that.
Okay, so here we are in the middle of September. This is pretty much now a done deal. Tell me a little bit about the history of Fuse and what led up to this movement.
Sure. Fuse actually started, Rob, who's on the call, actually can maybe talk a little bit about the early days.
Sure.
He was actually a founder of a startup company. That was really the genesis of Fuse. So, Rob, why don't you start out and I can chime in if needed.
Okay, all right. So this notion about having open source infrastructure, this started with a group of developers and founders and open source projects who had worked for commercial license-based infrastructure product companies before. And we collectively realized that these other individuals are James Strachan, Harm Turner, and Guillaume Naudet. We realized that actually the best way to deliver open source for infrastructure was to have open source at Apache. So we decided open source was the best thing to do because it opened up the software for engineers to look at, to use, to enhance. And we felt that this would be a really good way to grow a community around the projects we wanted to do. So we started off this company called LogicBlaze, which was acquired 3 years ago by Iona. And at the time, we decided to sell to Iona because we wanted to piggyback on their expertise of doing large infrastructure rollouts. So at Iona, the Fuse brand and the Fuse product line really came to of its own and to the fore. and Debbie Monahan, who was actually the director of open source at Sciona, she was working on another project at the time called Celtics, which is morphed into Apache CXF. And we decided to collaborate on this effort to get this message out about using really good infrastructure based around Apache open source and get that out into the marketplace. I mean, when Ionna was acquired by Progress initially really liked the idea, they liked the fact it's disruptive. We did put a lot of investment, new investment into the company. We added more employees, more salespeople, more people in marketing, etc. And we've been rolling that along now for the last 2 years. But it has got to a point where we realize that to operate to be in its most effective way, it has to be outside of Progress to a degree, because it is so different from the go-to-market strategy and actually what we deliver to customers to the rest of what Progress is doing with a one-product solution.
Yeah, I would just say also from a business perspective, Progress's go-to-market is, you know, they're really, as Rob said, offering solutions at the business level, and whereas open source has traditionally been looked at by, you know, developers, project managers, more from a technical perspective and more from a open source advocate perspective. You know, that's growing over time, as we've talked about earlier, that, you know, open source is becoming more and more mainstream, but the way that we do our approaches to marketing and sales are different in the few source team and much more community oriented and grassroots than, you know, the way that corporate marketing is done at Progress Software.
Right, and let's face it, the business models are quite different, right? The way in which you develop revenue is more through the support and maintenance and not on the upfront costs and implementation. So maybe you could explain why the business models being separate probably makes more sense.
Absolutely. From a practical perspective, the business model is very different in traditional enterprise software sales. You know, there's license fees, which is typically a large or an upfront, you know, license cost relative to the entire cost over the lifetime of that software that you're using within a company. And then you have, you know, your annual maintenance charges and your services and training and things like that. From an open source perspective, typically upfront, there is no license cost. Our model is there is no license cost. And it's more of a subscription support model where there is a monthly fee, but the way that it is actually accounted for and the way that it works with the customer is very different. So for practical reasons, that is one of the reasons why we split out our business. The way that we work with the customers and the way they consume the software is very different. So it's a month-to-month subscription support charge, but no license charge.
And so it's interesting to me that Progress with FewSource recognizes that there is that a little bit of apples and oranges going on, and perhaps keeping them separate is in the best interests of the users and the community. But we're seeing in other companies actually sort of the opposite, where people are looking to fold open source projects and products into a larger family or stable of commercial products. Do you think that we're gonna see that sort of trail off in the market? I guess the question is, what about these mega vendors and the direction of how an open source model and a commercial model should or shouldn't overlap or exist together?
I think there's a lot of opinions out there on whether or not open source can be successful in a hybrid model within a single mega vendor. I would say personally, you know, my view on that is it's very difficult. It's very easy when you, especially because the business model is different. So if you're a company and you're out there and you're selling a large portfolio of products where only a small amount of it is open source, and, you know, so you have a team of people that are out there trying to sell and market and grow a business around that portfolio, they're going to focus on the licensed products, or they're going to have a tendency to focus on those products that are going to drive revenue in the short term. From a business perspective, you know, nothing about, you know, whose model is better, but from a business perspective. So, you know, I'm very happy that Progress has decided to separate out FewSource And so we can have, we have already had our own sales team, but we can be completely focused on working with our customers to, you know, work with them to help them adopt open source. And when it makes sense, they can work with us to get support. When it makes sense, they can work with us to get training. It's a very consultative partnering model where in the early days, you know, we really like to provide everything someone needs to get going at no cost. I mean, you can come to FuseSource.com and get all the a lot of documentation. You can get a lot of training webinars and things like that. We have weekly webinars that show you how to get going on our products, and that's nothing that you would see in traditional, you know, commercially licensed software.
Okay, so tell me, Debbie, a little bit about what customers should expect. If you are a user of Fuse, if you're in the community, this move towards autonomy, how will that actually impact those folks? Will they perhaps even not even notice too much?
I think from a customer perspective, this change will have small but significant impact on them, meaning we're continuing to do everything that we've been doing, but as I mentioned earlier, we'll be able to have even more independence in the way that we do things, so it will all be beneficial to customers. From an administrative perspective, our email address will change to FuseSource.com, and, you know, invoices will say FuseSource instead of Progress Software, for example. But from who they're going to be working with, who their account managers will be, who's developing the software, who's providing the services and the support, it's going to be the same people that they've been working with. And we also have launched a new community site at FuseSource.com, which we're pretty excited about. But, you know, we were planning to do that, and we've been working on that for, you know, several months now. So that just provides some additional usability and just ability to find things on the site. So I think overall it'll be really good for our customers, and we've talked with them, and they're pretty excited about it. So we're all excited about it.
Okay. Let's get back to looking at the overall market for infrastructure and open source infrastructure in particular. Rob, tell me a little bit about what's going on in the market. We're seeing a lot of interest in cloud, private cloud, hybrid. We're certainly also seeing a great deal of emphasis on low cost, particularly from a service provider, where they're going down to minute margins in some cases. They really need to make sure that they're doing this in the most cost-effective manner. And then I have to imagine that if the service providers are able to provide IT as a service at a low cost, that the IT enterprises themselves will have to follow suit. So help me understand a little bit about sort of the new economics of IT and how open source infrastructure fits into that.
Oh my God, am I the right person to ask that question? Maybe Debbie could answer that.
Sure. I mean, I tee it up to either one of you. Debbie, the economics of open source.
So the economics of open source, from an economic perspective, open source, from a market perspective, like at a high level, I think open source is really, you know, disruptive in the market in that it's affecting how people are buying software. But I would say generally that we've seen a lot of changes over, you know, the past 5 to 10 years anyways, where license costs seem to be coming down as more and more discounting, you know, and people are looking at, whereas historically software vendors really looked at license revenue as the real premium part of the business to focus on. More and more they're realizing a lot of value really does come from the services side. Why? Because that's where you partner with your customer. That's where you get to know them. That's where you help them select the right solution. Open source, we already knew this. You know, open source community, that's how it works. People come to the community. They work with the developers in the community directly. It really eliminates a lot of the costs involved in large, complex software organizations in that, you know, where you might have to wait, you know, to schedule time with a product manager who then would have to spend time with the engineers, you know, understanding what's happening with the product so that he could then relay it to the account team and then they'd meet with the customer. With open source, it just breaks down a lot of barriers and it really eliminates a lot of the costs involved in getting the best software to the users. Why? Because people are talking directly to the developers in the community. The developers are getting the feedback directly, and while we do have some level of product management for open source, a lot of it is based around packaging, delivery, licensing, these types of things, because our engineers are hearing directly from customers on a moment-by-moment basis, seeing the feedback in the community and, you know, getting out there and partnering with our customers. So from an economic perspective, the model's different, just from the overall how it works. From a buying perspective for the customer, it's very different, and it's very attractive in these times that we're having right now, because up front you don't have the capital expenditure costs. You can get going. You can go to an open source community site. You can download the software. You can try it out. We've actually seen people get to proof of concept before they've even spoken with us. We've actually seen people build our stuff into a product as an application provider, as an OEM, and then come to us. So that will tell you, you know, how easy it is for people to consume and use open source without, you know, a lot of these costs of trying to select, trying to figure it out before you even can try it out. So you can try it before you buy it, and when you go to buy it, you kind of pay as you go. So with cloud, you know, that's also the reason why people really like cloud. You pay as you go, you scale as you go, and you don't have that upfront capital expenditure cost, which, you know, for new projects, it can be really hard to get money right now. So I think, you know, all these benefits are why we're seeing so much growth in FuSource.
All right. Are there perhaps some salient examples that demonstrate what you've been talking about? Again, I'll throw this out to either one of you. Some of your customers, it might be good examples of how this can work, both from an economic and technical, and I suppose that innovation freedom perspective as well.
Sure. I'll mention a couple of examples. They're kind of similar and something that we're seeing more and more. Sabre Holdings, I'll mention one that's more of a traditional company, Sabre Holdings. They deliver a lot of airline applications for various airlines. They have a lot of partners, travel agencies and airlines and such, and also FAA, which is a federal government organization. Those are two of our customers. And in both of those cases, they started out looking at open source at the project level, but eventually came to select open source to standardize for, you know, their common integration infrastructure, and to recommend that not just within their own organizations, but in both of those cases to their partners. So that's the really nice thing about open source. I mean, with integration, you know, integration within your own company is easy. You can have any crazy interface and, you know, you'll figure out how to do it. But when you have to partner, you can't tell your partners how to build their interfaces, but you can have a common integration platform and say, hey, can you, you know, transform your stuff so it can connect to this platform? But with open source, they don't have to have a license to that. So it's quite nice, meaning they can get going, they can try it out, they can see how it works without requiring their partners to pay any costs. So from an economic perspective, again, they could try it out, they got going, you know, looked at some proof of concepts, tested it out, but then rolled it out for a standardized infrastructure internally, you know, for some major projects and, you know, working with partners to roll it out further.
Right, and to your point, Rob, we've heard a call really for more standards in the market around cloud, common operating environments, standards for interoperability, but in lieu of having those structured standards develop rapidly, we have the open source fallback position that we can't always know what the commercial underpinnings are for services across an ecosystem of cloud consumers or providers. But having a common open source infrastructure base might very well serve that purpose. Is that what we're finding technically that's going on?
Yeah, I think that's really on the money, Dana. I think there's a trend as well. So when you look at cloud, there's different issues you have to overcome. So there's the issue about deploying into the cloud. How do you do that? And if you're using a public cloud, there's different mechanisms for deploying stuff. And there's open source projects already in existence to make that easier to do. And this is something we've found internally as well. When we made, we deploy a lot of our internal software when we're doing our big scale testing. We've made choices about which particular vendors we're going to use. And so we had to kind of abstract away the way we're doing things. And we did that as an open source project, which we've been using internally. And when you get to the point of after deploying, it's then how do you actually interface with these things? And so there is always going to be this continuing trend towards standards for integration. You know, how are you going to integrate? Are you going to use SOAP? Are you going to use RESTful services? Would you like to use messaging, for example, to actually interface into an integration structure? And you have to have choice. So you can't really dictate, or you can only use this way or the other way. You've got to have a whole menu of different options for connecting. And this is what we try and provide in our software. So we are always tries to be agnostic to the technology and as much as how you connect to the infrastructure that we provide. And we also tend to be as open as we can about the different ways of hooking up these disparate systems together. And I think that's the only way you can really be successful in providing something like an integration as a service in a cloud-like environment. You have to be completely open.
Okay, great. Well, it sounds as if we've sort of been able to capture the best of both worlds, with the Fuse being based on mature Apache software projects, with the model around the Fuse support of several years old, very well demonstrated in the market. But now that you're autonomous, also getting sort of the benefits of being a startup, of being innovative, being able to move fleet, being able to be agile. So Debbie, is that a fair characterization that by going autonomous with FuseSource, you're actually sort of getting the best of a mature, established, mission-critical enterprise supplier, but also being able to move quickly in a rather dramatically changing market?
Definitely, and we're really excited about it. Definitely, we do believe being backed by Progress Software provides us the benefit of, customers can have that assurance that we're backed by a large organization, but having FuseSource as a standalone company, as you said, gives us that independence around decision-making and really being like a startup. Sometimes, we get ideas and we want to make it happen, and we can make it happen. We can make it happen same day, next day. We'll be able to move as quickly as we want. And again, we'll be able to have our own processes and in any functional area that we need to best meet the needs of the open source users.
Rob, from a technical perspective, how do you view this sort of best of both worlds benefit?
From a technical perspective, it's really good for us. I mean, the shackles are off, really. There's a lot of suddenly reinvigorating the team to move forward. We've got a lot of really good ideas that we want to push out and roll out over the coming year, particularly around enhancing the products we already have, but also moving out into new areas. So there's a big excitement like you'd expect when you've got a startup, and it does feel like a startup mentality. There's people are very passionate about what they do inside FuseSource. And even more so now we've become autonomous of Progress, simply because, not that working inside Progress was a bad thing, but we were constrained by some of the rigors and procedures that you have to go through when you're part of a larger organization. And because those shackles have been taken away, it means that we can actually start innovating more in the direction we really want to drive our software to. It's really good.
Well, great. How can people learn more about FuseSource? You said earlier, Debbie, we have a website that's been refreshed. Are there some URLs or directions that you'd point people in order to learn more?
Yes, I would point people to FuseSource.com, and they can always contact us directly as well. you know, Rob and I would be happy to speak with anyone that has questions. You can send an email to info@fusesource.com, and we'd love to talk with anyone that has any questions or wants to hear more about it. But fusesource.com is the place to get information on the web. And we have a Twitter account, Fuse News, that you can follow as well.
Excellent. Well, I want to thank you both. We've been discussing how a newly autonomous fuse source is evolving to meet the need for open source infrastructure in a rapidly changing marketplace, and of course in a environment where cost and low risk are all very much top of mind. So thanks again to Debbie Moynihan, Director of Marketing for FuseSource. Thanks, Debbie.
Thank you, Dana.
And also Rob Davies, Director of Engineering for FuseSource. Appreciate your joining us, Rob.
Hey, no problem. Good to speak to you, Dana.
This is Dana Gardner, Principal Analyst at Inner Arbor Solutions. You've been listening to a sponsored Briefings Direct podcast. Thanks for listening, and come back next time.